Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Table Talk. I'm here at the table with my daughter, Madison.
Hello.
And we are going to continue talking about our verse mapping word study in the Word of God. Our verse is Psalm 119:114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. I read that from the ESV translation. And we are going to begin with catching back in with you on if you explored the who, what, why, where, when from where we left off last Monday. And I'm going to let you start, Maddie, about what compelled you when you looked into the biblical context of our verse.
When I looked up, I looked at in my NIV study Bible first, and it talked all about Psalms. Psalms is really big. So I had to do some extra digging to get to Psalms 119, which I thought was fun to just look at all the different authors in Psalms and why they wrote all the Psalms. But the author kind of dinged very interesting to me. Because it's technically an orphan psalm where the person that wrote it didn't say who was writing it. And so we don't actually know who the author was, but we do have a lot of information about it. And so when I went, I have another study Bible that's a King James version. What's the New King James Version,
yes,
study Bible that my husband has that I use sometimes. So I like to use them both and compare and see what's, you know, if there's something different between them. And so when I looked at both of them, it talked about some characteristics that the author of Psalms 119 has, mm-hmm, based on if you read the whole Psalms 119, what they say about themselves. Mm. And so if you're reading, a cool thing that you can do when you're verse mapping, you pick out one verse, but you can read the whole chapter that it's in just to gain more context. You can read just the couple verses ahead of it, couple verses behind it, to give you more context. But Psalms 119 is very long. So looking at the study Bible, it talked about the author was passionately devoted to the Word of God, so that they believed it was the Word of their whole life.
Mm.
They are humble to, first off, they didn't say who they were, so that's kind of a note to being humble, but they also humbly acknowledged that they were not perfect, that their heart and their way of life fail.
Mm.
And God is the perfect one. The third thing that it said was that the author knew pain of God's corrective discipline, but also the fruit of his discipline. And then the fourth one was that this author had suffered at the hands of people that disregarded God's word, so that it proved to the author that this was important, because he saw both sides. If you uphold the word of God or if you disregard it, and
that's
it
good.
Made the author a target of some hostility. So, which makes sense of our verse being, you're my hiding place and shield.
Yeah.
So those are four things that if you read through the whole Psalms 119, the author tells about themselves through all of the verses, that the study Bible kind of acknowledged that for me and was very helpful. those characteristics, a lot of people think it might have been David mm-hmm. because he fits all of yeah. those things, but he doesn't name himself and we don't know. So I thought that was interesting. And yeah. Whoever wrote it definitely appeals to the word is more important than even the author,
yeah,
which
good.
Is a good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
So very interesting stuff.
That reminds me of the verse we like to talk about with like less of me and more of him. Mm-hmm. I must decrease and he must increase. Mm-hmm. That same idea mm-hmm. of like surrender.
Yeah.
I also got the fact that it was the longest chapter in the whole Bible, 176 verses. And man, I would encourage you all to read all 176 verses. And some of the things that I found was if we knew the Hebrew language, we would realize that it was written as a poem in the fact that the literary device, it's called an acrostic, where each section is started with the letters of the alphabet in order. Mm-hmm. So for example, if we were writing an acrostic, the first one would be A, the second one would begin with a B, and then a C, and then a D. It would make sense to us. It would be very obvious. But most of us are not fluent in Hebrew. But if we were, we would realize that each section within 119 are in 8 verse sections, and each one begins with the letters in order of the Hebrew alphabet. So man, did they take some time with this. Yeah. And then just in the fact that it was 8 verses long, that's how the sections are. And there's a repetition with the way that they reference scripture or the word or the Bible that is in a repeating order. And I'm like, I'm going to put that to the test. So Madison is able to see here, I have a journaling Bible where the scripture is, and then I have a column on the side where I have gone through and written it all out to the side. It's just amazing. So like she says, it's not just isolate and look at one verse. It's for sure read the whole chapter, even if it's the longest one in the Bible. So that's what we're trying to tell you. Verse mapping is not, I'm going to check that off. I'm going to check that off. It is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you with whatever endeavor that day looks like for you. Mm-hmm. And you know your time restraints. Mm-hmm. Do you have 5 minutes today? 10 minutes? 15? 30? 2? Is it at lunch? Is it in the first of your day? Is it in the end of your day? But get in God's word daily, even if all you have time for is to pray and read the verse. Mm-hmm. If all you have time for is, Heavenly Father, I love you so. Be with me today. Allow your Holy Spirit to reveal your word and truth to me. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. That is spending time mm-hmm. with him in his word. Don't set such a lofty expectation or goal that you become discouraged. That's not what this is about. This is about waking up excited to how you're going to meet with him and how that looks for you. Mm-hmm. And Madison, share what I know is true about this biblical context part and the order that you sometimes do it with verse mapping.
Yeah. When I get to a verse that I want to map or that's given to me and we map as a group, I, of course, write the verse down and read it, pray over it. I usually jump to the context first and figure out the history behind it. Who wrote it? Why do they write it? Even before I define the words and find the spiritual context, that is just what gives me so much joy. And I feel so much knowledge that I can then interpret some of the definitions even better. But everyone has their
Absolutely.
Own. And so what I did with this verse is I picked out hiding place first and defined that. Then I paused. There's so many other words that jumped out, but I paused that, explored that biblical context, and then came back and wrote more words down and defined them after. So you can take these, processes mm-hmm. and steps to study in whatever order pops up and excites you. And if you get to something in the biblical context that you need to define, define that, or, you know, something like that. It's not a rigid structure. You might be someone that that doesn't help in, so then you do it and that's not something that brings you a lot of joy, but you have defined every single word in the verse, unlike I've just chose four. So it's enough to do something every day, whether it's reading the verse, praying, or picking out, you know, I'm going to do one word today. I'm going to answer one biblical context question today, and just going on and just letting him lead you how you want.
And sometimes I tell people that, like, sometimes they're more hung up on traversing resources. So something I have offered to others before is find your verse. Or like Madison says, take a verse that's been offered to you. In our case, Psalm 119, 114. Prayerfully look at what words just compel you. Write those down. And maybe you want to look at however many words that you chose all just the first few days or week just with the dictionary. You want to either get the hardback dictionary you own, or you want to just look up Merriam-Webster, and you just want to center in that. That's one resource. Opening and closing, finding one thing, sit on that for a week. Because maybe you're having a little hard time with the study Bible or Bible Hub or things like that. So jumping back and forth between resource platforms may be offering anxiety for you. We don't want to do anything that overwhelms you with anything but joy. So then maybe you want to take days or the next week to just isolate that study Bible and now go back and look at the spiritual slant for your words, or get into Bible Hub, traverse Bible Hub for a while. Just learning that and becoming familiar with that is a thing in itself. So until you're like, okay, I know how to go to a word and go to the lexicon and look at the, spend some time there. But like Madison says, do it in your order, in your time frame, with what you want to do. There is not one right way. We're going to offer you something new to add to your bag of verse mapping tricks. And it's basically where you are going to look at other translations of the same verse you chose and see what words they used in place of the keyword you isolated. We call it keyword analysis. And it's where we're going to hone in back on that keyword we chose, but we're going to look at, like she said, NIV, I'm ESV. So we just want to look and see, is there a difference between different translations? First thing I would have you do is go gather up any and all Bibles in your home. Surely you have one or two or three or seven or eight. And like Madison said, I went and got my husband's study Bible. So if it's not mine personally, I can go get my husband's. But I guarantee you, I bet you have at minimum two or three different translations. If you don't have more than one hard copy Bible that is different, then we offer you a resource, again, Bible Hub. You can type in the verse, Psalm 119, 114, click on it, and it will bring up a plethora, 20, 25, 30
so many
different Bibles you don't even know they existed. And they're all right there on the screen for you. All back to back to back to back to back. But there is still something about getting multiple Bibles and turning to the same verse in multiple Bibles and discovering it for yourself first before you just kind of do the computer cheat. But one example I'm going to give you is I'm going to go back to my shield word, because that's the one I told you about, the scaly hide of the crocodile covering. And in place of shield, in one Bible, it said house of refuge. In one Bible, it said protector, and in another Bible, it said supporter. So those were three different words in the same verse in different translations. Mm-hmm. So Maddie, can you give us an example of one of your keywords?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to the hiding place.
Okay.
So when I looked up hiding place, I found refuge, shelter, place of safety, defender, and fortress.
Nice.
So those were good
nice
alternatives to hiding place.
Yeah. And some of you might be thinking, like, why are we doing this? Like, basically, that's just synonyms. Why are we looking up synonyms for the word in the word study? What I love to do then, when you have finished the words that you have chosen to look up, I like to go back into my verse and replace my words by choosing a word that's on that same line of the first word I ever chose. So, and then I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I basically did all the words in the verse. I did you, I did my, I did hiding place, I did shield, I did hope, I did word. And with you, I have your in the same box. And then my I. So I can go back and basically restate the verse any way I want to. It reminds me of, if any of y'all did that Mad Libs game, where you would get that little booklet and it would say, like, put in a noun, put in a verb, put in an adjective, and you just ask the person. And then once you put them in there, you read the story and the story's like funny. Okay, this is not funny. And we are in no way wanting to take the Bible out of context. But if everything we're doing is centered, then no matter how I read it, it's going to just be like onion layers firing me to understand it more. So just as an example, I'm going to read this verse. I'm going to read it three different ways using different words from what I'm just talking with Maddie about, where what else in other translations does that Bible use in place of yours? So here's the first one. God, you are this sinner's safety and my protector. I cling to and trust in your word. Okay, that's one example. Here's another one. Yahweh, you are this disciple's shelter. You are my protector. I wait for your word. Here's the last one. Thou are this sheep's safety. I, in this house of refuge, have a source of trust in your word. Okay. All from the synonym search.
Yeah. Yeah.
All means the same thing because of how we stay centered in his word.
Mm-hmm.
But it just helps me to sit there and go, wow. 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 Wow.
Yeah. And the people that make the different translations of the Bible put in so much prayer,
yes,
time, research. And so it is such a resource for us to have more than one.
Yeah.
Right? It's a resource in and of itself to have the Bible.
Yes.
But then to have more than one option.
Yeah.
So find the one that works for you, that you connect to, but then look at the other ones because you might learn something or see something different from their translation. It might make more sense in a different translation, or you just, with that synonym, with that word, all of these Bible translations are researched, are prayed over, are the living, breathing word of God, that they just researched that Hebrew or Greek word, and that is their interpretation of it, and it's not taken lightly for it to get to production. So, being able to choose any of the resources and translations and say, this is the one I'm going to read all of the time. But then looking at the other ones can give us so much extra knowledge just knowing that they all mean the same thing and they add to each other.
Yes. I was sharing with Madison, if any of you have heard of Charles Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon basically says one of the best descriptions in the entire Bible for centering a walker of faith in this world is the chapter Psalm 119. Mm-hmm. And in it, he says, "Let us never venture without the light-giving word, lest we slip with our feet." And so he was just like, wow, what great truth over and over and over and over in almost every verse. Psalm 119. Mm-hmm. If you're ever like, wow, God, I need help. What should I do? Read Psalm 119. Just start at the beginning and read verse by verse by verse. Something, something is going to jump out to you. But that is his call on our life, is to know and love him more. And to know and love him more is to read and study and obey his word. So that's what we're going to leave you with. We don't know where you are in the process, and there's no pressure, but we hope you're either defining words, looking at biblical context, looking at synonyms for words in other Bible translations, and we're going to leave you with one more thing, but we're not going to tell you our answers. The other thing after this is cross-references, and what that means is you are looking up where else in the Bible it talks about that same key word you isolated. So for example, for me, it would be wherever else in the Bible does it reference shield. Madison's word would be where else in the Bible does it recognize the hiding place. Mm-hmm. And of course, I had said hope, Maddie had said word. So that's all we're doing. We're saying, where else in the Bible does it also reference that one word we isolated? Mm-hmm. Because the Bible is going to repeat words in different situations across Old Testament and New Testament for us to see how important that word is. So one way you can do that is like in the back of the study Bible. If the word is hope, look up hope in the back of a study Bible. You can also use Bible Hub. You can literally just type in the word and you can search it. You can go to the specific verse and click on a word and search it. But you are literally just looking for other verses in the Bible that support the one word you chose. Mm-hmm. Not all of the words. Yeah, just one. Yep. But we're going to wait and talk about that next Monday. So wherever you are in the process, remember the main goal is that you're praying, God, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me. We love you so. We're encouraged by your encouragement.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.